This is the Africa service of Vatican Radio.
Welcome to our half-hour daily program for Africa.
In today's program, you can hear our feature, Justice and Peace. First, however, our bulletin of church news, followed by Africa News Panorama. We shall close today's program with Sports Roundup. I am Festus Tarawali. The Holy See Press Office gave updates on Tuesday on the Pope's health, saying he continues to show improvements. The press office also announced that Pope Francis wrote the meditations for the Good Friday Via Crucis or Stations of the Cross to be held at Rome's Colosseum. Deborah Castellano-Lubov reports.
Pope Francis continues to show improvements as he recovers at his residence of Casa Santa Marta, the Holy See Press Office stressed during a Tuesday morning briefing. The Holy Father was released from Rome's Gemelli Hospital with protected discharge on Sunday, the 23rd of March, after being hospitalized with a polymicrobial respiratory infection that resulted in bilateral pneumonia, and he continues his doctor-prescribed convalescence period in the Vatican. The press office noted it is still too early to discuss the Pope's own participation in the Holy Week liturgies or during the Easter Triduum, but stressed it would offer all pertinent updates as they arrive. In the meantime, it announced Pope Francis himself had written the meditations for the Via Crucis on Good Friday at Rome's Colosseum and shared which cardinals the Pope has delegated to preside over several Holy Week liturgies. The Pope's meditations for the Via Crucis on Friday will be published by the press office at noon that day. Today, the calendar of the celebrations at St. Peter's Basilica will be released. On Holy Thursday, Cardinal Domenico Cacagno, President Emeritus of APSA, will preside over the Chrism Mass in the morning. It was pointed out that the Mass in Cena Domini on Holy Thursday evening will take place in the Basilica at 6 p.m., but not in a papal chapel. On Good Friday, Cardinal Claudio Guggerotti, the prefect of the Dicastery for Eastern Churches, will preside over the Passion Liturgy in St. Peter's Basilica. Later that evening, Cardinal Baldo Reina, the Pope's Vicar General of Rome, will preside over the Via Crucis at the Colosseum. At this time, the press office said that it has nothing to add regarding the Pope's eventual presence or participation in the Holy Week liturgies, but the press office did say it will provide another briefing on Friday and will update journalists accordingly. I'm Deborah Castellano-Lubov.
This Tuesday, the 15th of April, marks 2 years since the outbreak of the civil war in Sudan. Diplomats and aid officials from around the world met Tuesday in London to discuss the conflict that has killed tens of thousands of people, displaced 14 million, and pushed large parts of the country into famine. Sudan plunged into war on the 15th of April 2023 after simmering tensions between the Sudanese military and a paramilitary group known as the Rapid Support Forces, or RSF. Neither the Sudanese military nor the RSF group were invited in the one-day conference hosted by Britain, France, Germany, the European Union, and the African Union. On Sunday, Pope Francis recalled the anniversary in the text of his Angelus address. He wrote, "The 15th of April will mark the second sad anniversary of the beginning of the conflict in Sudan, in which thousands have been killed and millions of families have been forced to flee their homes. The suffering of children, women, and vulnerable people cries out to heaven and begs us to act," wrote the Pope. "I renew my appeal to the parties involved that they may end the violence and embark on paths of dialogue, and to the international community so that the help needed may be provided to the populations," the Pope wrote in the text of the Angelus. In a statement issued at the just-ended 58th regular session of the Human Rights Council in Geneva, Caritas Internationalis and co-signatories expressed deep concern about the ongoing humanitarian crisis in Sudan, highlighting the devastating impact on millions, especially women and children. Caritas Italiana, the relief and development agency of the Italian Bishops' Conference, has also released a statement on the crisis in Sudan, as we hear in this report by Francesca Merlo.
Sudan is now facing what Caritas calls the most severe humanitarian catastrophe in the world. 30 million people, two-thirds of the population, are in urgent need of aid. The numbers are staggering. Entire cities from Khartoum to Darfur lie in ruins. Over 8.6 million people have been displaced within the country, while another 3.9 million have fled across its borders seeking safety. Women and children, as always, remain the most vulnerable. Gender-based violence is rampant. 17 million children have been out of school for more than a year. Some 3.7 million are suffering from acute malnutrition, and one in every three children under the age of five show signs of stunted growth. Hunger, too, is relentless. 24 million people each day wake up without knowing where their next meal will come from. 8 million are in emergency conditions, and over 600,000 are already facing famine. Farming has collapsed, humanitarian corridors are blocked, resources are hoarded or sold for profit. And as if the hunger were not enough, a health crisis compounds the suffering. 60% of the population has no access to medical care. Cholera, malaria and dengue fever are spreading fast and hospitals are under attack. Healthcare workers are being threatened or killed and mental health needs are rising, particularly among displaced communities. However, only 15% of those in need receive psychological support. Even then, silence. While Sudanese lives are lost and others barely hang on, the cries for help from the church and civil society too often go unheard. Caritas, along with its network and local partners, continues to serve those affected. Food, water, hygiene kits, medical care and psychosocial support are being provided daily, but resources are limited. The United Nations Humanitarian Response Plan for Sudan is drastically underfunded, partly due to cuts in US aid. Millions remain unreached and millions more remain in danger. The crisis in Sudan is one that the world cannot afford to ignore. No war, Caritas reminds us, no matter how far from our screens, should ever be forgotten. I'm Francesca Merlo.
The Holy Father has appointed Father Joseph Mopepe Ngongo as Bishop of the Diocese of Molegbe in the Democratic Republic of Congo. The bishop-elect is a doctoral candidate in theology at the Catholic University of Congo in Kinshasa. Father Joseph Ngongo was born on the 15th of July 1966 in Jemena in the Diocese of Molegbe. He was ordained a priest on the 19th of March 1995. Coordinators of Justice and Peace Commissions in the interregional meeting of the bishops of Southern Africa in Bisa, which groups the bishops of nine countries, have resolved to vigorously pursue strategic partnerships that can contribute to the realization of lasting peace in their region. In a statement issued at the end of a four-day workshop held in the Catholic Archdiocese of Pretoria in South Africa, the coordinator stressed the need for partnerships with both church and state institutions, including with the Symposium of Episcopal Conferences of Africa and Madagascar, SECAM, and with the Continent-wide African Union. You're tuned to the Africa Service of Vatican Radio.
African News Panorama.
As Rwanda continues this year's mourning period for the victims of the 1994 genocide, an official of Ibuka, a Genocide Survivors Association, Chantal Bankundiye, has told the media in Kigali that remains of 320 other victims were discovered at the weekend in a place called Nyamata in Bujesera district. The remains were found by construction workers who were digging near a road to expand water supply in the area. It is believed that some of the victims were killed at a nearby church and others were killed at roadblocks while fleeing from the church by Interahamwe militias and soldiers from the then Gako Military Academy, after which the bodies were covered with soil using a bulldozer. According to memorial records in Kigali, over 40,000 ethnic Tutsis were killed in Nyamata on 15th April 1994. A medical charity, Doctors Without Borders, has strongly condemned the recent armed attack and looting of its hospital and premises in a place called Ulang in Upper Nile State, South Sudan. The head of the hospital, Dr. Zakaria Mwatia, said on Tuesday that the attack took place on Sunday and the assailants threatened staff and looted vital medical supplies and equipment, forcing the suspension of all services at the hospital. He added that the hospital was the only functioning health facility in the area. Upper Nile State is now a battleground between South Sudan's government army and a militia group known as the White Army. There have been several other armed attacks against health facilities in the state in the past. The office of the World Health Organization Africa region in Congo Brazzaville has issued a report saying that 20 countries on the African continent have increased access to services for severe chronic diseases such as type 1 diabetes, single-cell disease, and rheumatic and congenital heart diseases over the last 4 years. This was after adopting a new model to decentralize care for severe non-communicable diseases. The model, known as Penny Plus, involves training healthcare workers in district hospitals to provide integrated care for these conditions and, in the process, expanding access to treatment beyond referral facilities. The report emphasizes the urgent need for continued investment and collaboration to expand coverage on non-communicable diseases across the African continent and seeks to ensure that these diseases remain a priority on the international health agenda. You are tuned to the English Africa Service of Vatican Radio. And now, our feature, Justice and Peace. As you heard on this program, Catholic bishops in Uganda issued a pastoral letter last Monday, April 7th, with the title, "The Truth Will Set You Free." In the letter, the bishops expressed deep concern over a decline in moral and spiritual values, coupled with the persistent issues of murder, corruption, and rights abuses across the country. In this edition, we focus on rights abuses and corruption. Uganda is preparing for presidential and parliamentary elections in January 2026. The bishops have in the past written other pastoral letters in which they expressed concerns about election interference, violence, and dwindling civil space ahead of general elections. Bishop Joseph Anthony Ziwa of Chinda Mitiana Diocese is the president of the Uganda Catholic Bishops Conference. He presented the letter to reporters and to the public in general in the capital, Kampala.
As we come closer to national elections in 2026, we remind you of our pastoral letters. In these letters, we observed that every election period comes with anxiety, violence, uncertainty, and a sense of hopelessness. This is informed largely by experience of elections over the years. Issues such as an even playing field for the contesting candidates, interfering in elections by the security agencies, and violence are still unresolved. There have also been complaints about vote rigging and loss of property and lives.
The bishops called upon the government of Uganda to urgently address electoral issues before the upcoming general elections, noting that to be credible, elections must be free, fair, and transparent.
We call upon those in authority to allay these fears by undertaking early and comprehensive reforms to accommodate the various recommendations of the Supreme Court, views of political and civil society groups, and the rest of the population. There is a need to provide an enabling environment for voters and political parties to participate freely and effectively in the general elections in 2026.
Bishop Ziwa also indicated that the Catholic Bishops' Conference is concerned about the detention of politicians, especially of the opposition, many of whom are languishing in jails because of their political beliefs and their desire to win elections and form a government.
We note with concern reports of the rising phenomenon of political prisoners and detainees in Uganda. Security agencies are accused of arresting, detaining, torturing, and abducting people of dissent voices without due process of the law. These actions reflect a troubling pattern in our politics. Many families do not seem to know the fate of the whereabouts of their missing loved ones. Family members, victims, relatives, and friends have expressed frustration in attaining justice. Most disturbing has been the trial of civilians in military courts, including political prisoners. The Supreme Court of this country has recently declared these trials unconstitutional and has directed the transfer of all such cases to civilian courts. We urge government to expedite the process. Justice too long delayed is justice denied.
The bishops warned that the detention of politicians and other people of opposing views is evidence of diminishing civil space and a suffocation of the freedom of expression, which no one expects to take place in any country in this 21st century.
We most importantly consider the phenomenon of political prisoners and detainees a reflection of the nature of politics in our country. It is prevalent in some teething democracies where political tolerance is at its lowest and the politics operates at the level of victor and vanquished. This should not be the case with us in Uganda, especially in the 21st century. We must take a deliberate step to occupy a place among democratic nations of the world where respect for divergent views and beliefs, political leadership as service, and opposition as partners in development is entrenched.
The bishops also tackle in their pastoral letter the persistent issue of corruption, which they say deprives citizens of essential services and worsens inequality. Citing official statistics, they say that Uganda loses 44% of domestic revenue every year to corruption.
As a country, we struggle with financial losses due to corruption. The crisis appears to be deepening. It is perplexing that meaningful action remains elusive. As a result, citizens are deprived of basic social services. Inequality and injustice is fostered, poverty exacerbated, and our democracy and stability threatened. Corruption has also grossly undermined our country's potential as an investment destination by raising the cost of doing business and negatively affected our relationships with God and neighbor. God is not deceived by leaders who speak righteous words, but harbor corrupt hearts. Prophet Micah chapter 7 from verse 1 to 6.
The bishops invite government to put in place stronger anti-corruption measures and to have the political will to fight corruption.
Strengthening protection for anti-corruption activists, ensuring the independence of anti-corruption agencies, and maintaining judicial independence are essential steps in this fight. More importantly, a sustained political will is needed to create an environment where high-profile cases can be effectively prosecuted and storing money can be recovered. There is therefore a pressing need for renewed efforts from government, civil society, and citizens to tackle this epidemic that has condemned many Ugandans to dire poverty and some areas of our country and its social services to backwardness.
Bishop Joseph Anthony Ziwa, the president of the Uganda Catholic Bishops' Conference, presenting to reporters and to the country in general the pastoral letter, "The Truth Will Set You Free," last Monday, April 7th, in Uganda's capital, Kampala. And that was Justice and Peace for this week. This has been Johnny Baptist Tumusime.
This is a sports roundup, and welcome to the program. My name is Kenyatta Godfrey Kampamba. A total of 12 African referees have been selected to officiate at the 2025 FIFA Club World Cup, which will take place in the United States from June 14th to July 13th. The referees are part of a pool of 117 officials selected from 41 FIFA member nations for the impending tournament. The competition will see Africa presenting 5 center referees, 5 assistant referees, as well as 2 referees who will be in the video-assisted referee section. Africa has over the years presented a host of exceptional referees at the world stage. Among them is Rwandan referee Salima Mkansanga, who officiated at the 2022 FIFA World Cup in Qatar. The 4 teams representing Africa at the tournament are Al Ahly of Egypt, Mamelodi Sundowns of South Africa, Esperance of Tunisia, and Moroccan Giants Wydad. President William Ruto has challenged the leadership and managers of Kenyan football to raise the game's profile to international standards. The president called on football officials to end managerial issues that have long plagued the sport and in the process stunning its growth for years. "You have the heavy responsibility to lift football in our country to the level of athletics," he said at State House in Nairobi on Tuesday morning. Ruto said further that the country wanted to see its Harambee Stars rise to international status. "The fact that many Kenyans have played in international leagues demonstrates the fact that talent exists in our country," he said. President Ruto made the remarks when he flagged off the Harambee Stars team heading for the Under-20 Africa Cup of Nations tournament that will take place this year in Egypt. In fact, the Confederation of African Football, CAF, conducted the final draw for the Total Energies Confederation of African Football Under-20 Africa Cup of Nations Egypt 2025 on Sunday, 13th April 2025. At the Egyptian Football Association headquarters in Cairo. The tournament is scheduled to run from 27th April to 18th May 2025 and will feature 13 nations battling for continental supremacy and 4 qualification spots to the FIFA Under-20 World Cup in Chile in 2025. Football experts say that the draw revealed exciting group stage fixtures, promising a thrilling start to the competition. Hosts Egypt, who are 3-time champions, headline Group A, where they will face Zambia, Sierra Leone, South Africa and Tanzania in what promises to be a closely fought group. In Group B, record 7-time champions Nigeria are drawn alongside former winners Tunisia, as well as Kenya and Morocco, setting the stage for some of the tournament's most anticipated matches. Defending champions Senegal begin their title defense in Group C, which also includes the Central African Republic, the Democratic Republic of Congo and Ghana, with Ghana aiming to reclaim the title they won in 2009, the same year they became the only African team to win the FIFA Under-20 World Cup. The Total Energies Confederation of African Football Under-20 AFCON Egypt 2025 will follow a 3-group format. Group A contains 5 teams, while Group B and C features 4 teams each. The top 2 teams from each pool, along with the 2 best third-placed teams, will progress to the quarterfinals, with the tournament concluding on 18th May 2025. The draw sets the tone for what promises to be another memorable edition of one of Africa's premier youth competitions. Meantime, Kenya's double Olympic marathon champion Eliud Kipchoge says He will prioritize athletes' welfare when he assumes office as their representative at the National Olympics Committee of Kenya. Kipchoge says he will be the messenger and a go-between athletes from different disciplines and their respective federations. Kipchoge further pointed to his wide-ranging experience in sports as a core reason why he is the man for the job. He said he will use his experience and share the knowledge he has on how to handle the challenges associated with being a sportsperson. Kipchoge was nominated by Athletics Kenya as a representative for male athletes. His confirmation for the job is expected at the National Olympics Committee of Kenya's national elections on April 24th. Kipchoge will be joined by National Women's Rugby Sevens team captain Grace Adhiambo, who will represent female athletes. Kipchoge is currently preparing for this year's London Marathon. In Nigeria, legendary football specialist and former image maker of Rangers International Football Club, Chief Kidi Okolo, has paid a heartfelt tribute to former Super Eagles coach and Nigerian football icon chairman Christian Chukwu, who passed away after a short illness on Saturday afternoon at his residence in Trans-Ekulu in Enugu. Describing the news as both devastating and shocking, Okolo said that Chukwu's passing was a deeply personal loss and held him as one of the greatest players in Nigeria's football history. And on that note, we come to the end of today's edition of our Sports Roundup. Until next week, at the same time, my name is Kanyan Tagodfrey Kampamba.
You have been listening to the English Africa Service of Vatican Radio. In our next program at the same time tomorrow, you can hear our feature Health and Healing and our segment Pilgrims of Hope. I am Festus Tarawali, and do join us then. Praised be Jesus Christ. Laudetur Jesus Christus.